When you memorize the Bible verses, did you hear any voice? What the Holy Spirit speak to you? And when the Holy speak to you, then you don't need anyone to teach you, including your pastor. When you memorize Bible verses, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in three different ways. So can anyone share with me whether the Holy Spirit speak to you while you memorize Bible verses? Can anyone tell me? Donald, did the Holy Spirit speak to you? Yes or no? No? Bonner? Did the Holy Spirit speak to you and encourage you to say, wow, this is the right way? Keep memorizing it. It's good for you. So can anyone try to recite Isaiah 59, 20 to 21? Anyone want to try? Anyone want to try? So nobody want to try? Isaiah 59 verse 20 to 21. Isaiah 59. Wow, this is mark, whiteboard marker. Can I erase it? Oh, that's good. Scan me. Isaiah 59, 20 to 21. Bonner, you want to try? Eh? You did that last week? Start with 20 first. The Redeemer. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declare the Lord. In other words, when I realize, when I read the scripture, when I find out that I'm a sinner, and I make a decision, I can resist the truth and oppose God. And God will oppose me. Because the Bible clearly stated that God will oppose the proud and give grace to the humble. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. When the Lord spoke to me, saying to me that in certain area of my life I need to be changed, if I resist the truth and if I oppose him, the Lord said in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 34, if I oppose him, what happened? He opposed the proud, but he give grace to the humble. Who are the humble one? The one who listen to him and turn around and repent of their sins. And the Lord promised us that The Redeemer will come to you. The Redeemer not only come to Zion and to those who repent of their sins in Jacob, the Redeemer will come to you too. When the Redeemer come to you, then he gonna make a new covenant with you. And that's what the Bible say, as for me, this is my covenant with them. With who? The Lord only make his covenant with the repentant, with those who repent of their sins. The Lord only make a covenant with the humble one. The Lord will never make a covenant with the proud one. Does that make sense? When we read the scripture, when we find out that it is only me and the Lord, then you know that it's not the pastor speaking to you. It is the Lord who is speaking to you. Okay? Then you get no one to blame. Do you hear the scripture? You heard that the Lord spoke to you. You realize that certain area of your life needed to be changed. Then you change it. Then the Lord say, yes, you are a humble man. I will give grace to you. I will give you favor and mercy. Okay? But if you oppose the truth, ignore his teaching, ignore his rebuke, he will not make a covenant with you. The Lord will only make a covenant with those who repent of their sins. What kind of covenant that he make with us? He say, my spirit who is on me and my words that I put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or depart from the mouths of your children or from the mouth of their descendants, of your children's descendants, from this time on and forevermore, said the Lord. The Lord covenant that he make with us is an eternal covenant. As long as we keep on repenting of our sins, that's the condition. He give grace to you not because you are good. He give grace to you because you are humble. You hear his word, you repent of your sins, then you are a humble man. So in the Beatitude, when the Lord speak to his disciple on the mountain, what's the Beatitude saying? The first Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, blessed are the humble one, the meek in spirit, the humble one, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. If you hear God's word and you oppose his truth, and he will oppose you, he will not give you grace. We all need grace and mercy from our Lord Jesus Christ because we are all sinners. Can someone read to me Matthew chapter 5 verse 3? Daniel?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is in the kingdom of heaven.
Say it again.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is in the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Belongs to who? To the humble one. Who are the humble one? When the Lord say that you are a sinner, certain area of your life needed to be changed, you turn around and change it. When you change it, in his sight, you are the humble one. In his sight, he's going to give you grace. Okay? Now, today, I'm going to talk about a new covenant. Okay? And what did the New Testament say about Isaiah 59 verse 20 to 21? What did the Jeremiah say? Did anyone memorize Jeremiah 31 to 34 or 33 to 34? You memorize it? 31 to 34? Man, I give you one more. You next time, up to 36. I give you a bonus. It's good stuff. Okay, Daniel, recite it now. 31 to 31.
The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the
Well, now we make a new covenant.
New covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. I
was a husband to them. Right? Okay, and then? 33?
This is the covenant.
This is the covenant
I will make with the house of Israel after time, declares
the Lord. After that time. After this time, right? Okay.
And declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people.
Wow. Okay.
No longer will a man teach his neighbor or...
No longer will a man teach.
Saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins.
And will remember
their sins no more.
Wow. Give me five. Oh, man. I pray that the Lord gonna use you to be a pastor in the future, okay? Nowadays, too many pastors preach without using God's word. Today, I give you two more Bible verses I want you to memorize, and I tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in your heart. That's exactly what happened to our brother, younger brother Daniel. Let the word of Christ richly, the more the better, richly dwell in your heart. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Nowadays, too many pastors, they preach, they teach, but they dare not admonish. What we really need now, we need people to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Not with human understanding, but with all wisdom of God from His Word, from His Bible, from His Scripture. Okay? And as you sing psalm, hymns, and spiritual song with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. Can we recite that three times? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And the next Bible verses I want you to memorize is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Daniel, could you read that to me? Read that three times. Colossians 3:16. Daniel, I want a senior, Daniel the senior, to be there. Thank you very much.
Three times?
Yeah, three times. Listen carefully, okay?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
listen to me carefully how I analyze these Bible verses, okay?
He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What's the point of let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Nowadays, a lot of people do not let the word of Christ dwell in their heart. Not to mention dwell in your heart richly. Okay? They don't even have one Bible verse in their heart other than 3:16 of Gospel of John. Do you know Gospel of John 3:16?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
You know some of it or all of it? Could you recite it? John 3:16?
For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only
son?
I don't remember the rest, but the ending is like, so that we shall not perish and have eternal life.
So now you memorize part of it. So what does it really mean then? How can I get eternal life? Could you show it to me? Could you tell me? Daniel the junior, can you tell me how can I get eternal life based upon Gospel of John 3:16? Believe in him? Because whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Believe in him. Believe in him in what? Can anyone tell me believe in him in what? You know what? Billy Graham don't mention it, so we don't know it. Right? Billy Graham using 3:16 all the time when he doing the evangelistic meeting, right? A lot of people, they don't understand 3:16. I tell you what, believe in what, okay? I want you to do the homework tonight. When you get home, John 3:16, whosoever believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. The one who perish is the one who cannot enter the kingdom of God. In this Bible verses 3:16 is based upon believe in what? Believe in 3:3 and 3:5. Okay? Believe in this. Because at that time, the Nicodemus don't even know that has to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. And 3:4, how can I be born again? I'm an old man now. Am I going to enter my mother womb to be born again? No, that's not what Jesus said. You have to be born of water and of the Holy Spirit. And do you believe in that? If you believe in that, you have eternal life. So, a lot of people, they only preach on what? 3:16 without telling the background? The interpretation is wrong. Okay? Believe in what? What do you want me to believe? Believe in what he said to Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus do not understand. Okay? So, do I need to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? Not just 3:16? But 3:5 and 3:4. 3:3 to 3:5. Does it make sense? So let us recite together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then when you have the words of Christ dwell in you richly, then you know how to teach and admonish. Then you know how to sing songs when you worship God. As you. The first as you is as you teach and admonish. The second as you is as you sing. Let me tell you one thing. A lot of brothers and sisters, when they sing songs, they don't memorize the song. They don't sing from their heart. When you memorize the song, and then that week you get the blessing, when you sing, you sing with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. You say, thanks God, that's exactly what you have said to me, and that's exactly how you bless me. I give you gratitude. I sing with gratitude in my heart to the Lord. Then you are moved by the lyric and the song, the wording of the song. We don't just sing regular song. We don't just sing short song. What do we sing? Paul say, we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Okay? A lot of people, they are teachers, but they don't teach with all wisdom. Why? Because they don't let the word of Christ dwell in them richly. They only let a little bit of the word of God dwell in them. They only know 3:16. They don't know why, at what condition did Jesus mention the word 3:16. Because he mentioned about 3:3 and 3:5 first. You need to be born again. If you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will perish. You need to be born again. How can you be born again? By water and by the Spirit. You understand? Any question? So that's why I don't want preacher to preach only one Bible verses. When you just preach one Bible verses, nobody know whether you're right or wrong. You take it out of the context without looking the background, then you don't know. Okay? So that's why a lot of people, they call themselves to be Christian, and yet they haven't been baptized. Would you please do me a favor? Please raise your hand. Anyone who claims himself to be a Christian, would you please raise your hand first? If you think that you are a Christian, would you please raise your hand? So let me see. Are you a Christian? You don't know? Are you or are you not? Yes or no? No, okay. Donald? You are not a Christian? Are you or you are not? No, okay. He said he's not. Okay. You did you raise your hand, Ma? Okay. Now, is she your mother?
Yeah.
Your name?
Jerry.
Jerry. Are you a Christian? Have you been to a church?
Yeah.
What's the name of the church you attend to?
Our church, Apostle. Sorry, I can't say it. Apostle.
Apostolic Bible Church?
Yeah.
Our church?
Yeah.
ABC?
Yeah.
So okay.
Only a couple of times.
Couple times. I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Well, I'm solemn. It's my sheep. I don't even know. You know. Okay. Now, and how come you say that you are not a Christian? You haven't been baptized yet. Okay. What's the reason why you haven't been baptized yet? You haven't had the opportunity? Do you know that our church, when you believe in Jesus Christ, I will baptize you the next Sunday. So you get all kind of opportunity. But not this Sunday, because this Sunday I will be in New York. Next Sunday. You know what I mean? So, now go back. Jesus said to Nicodemus, no one, no exception, no one, including the pastor's daughter, no one can enter or no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You need to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Because the Bible clearly said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Or chapter 15 verse 50. Okay, if we carry this fleshly body, perishable body, mortal body, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You need to have a new body. your mother has a fleshly body. So she gives birth to you, you have a fleshly body, flesh and blood. But if the Heavenly Father gives birth to you, then you're born again. Then you get a new body when we die. You understand? So we need a new body in order to inherit the kingdom of God. So that's why Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. But Nicodemus doesn't understand what he's talking about because he has never heard about the terminology needed to be born again. He said, I'm old now. My mother is not around. How can I enter into my mother's womb in the second time and allow my mother to give me birth? That's not what Jesus says, born again. Born the second time. What Jesus meant is, you need to be born of water. That water means baptism. And you need to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit is God, Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In other words, the moment you come to know Jesus Christ, the moment the Holy Spirit enter into your heart. You understand? The flesh give birth to flesh. The Holy Spirit give birth to Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, then you belong to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? But if you belong to Jesus Christ, and because of your belief in Him, then you have Holy Spirit in your heart, you need to go through baptism. That is what Jesus said. Then Jesus said, whosoever believe in me, believe in what I said in 3:3, believe in what I said in 3:5, if you believe in that, you believe that you need to be born again, you go through water baptism and you go through spirit baptism, then you will not perish but have eternal life. Does that make sense? You know, if our pastor in various churches teach that, the full gospel, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And I believe our children who hear the preaching will be saying, yes, I would like to be baptized. You understand what I'm trying to say? We don't have the word of Christ dwell in our heart richly. We only have 3:16 dwell in our heart richly. And we don't have 3:3, 3:4, and 3:6 dwell in our heart. Am I right? Then we don't know the background. Then say believe. Then you ask all kind of people, what do you believe? Believe in what? I don't even know what I believe. You ask one Christian, he believe in one thing. You ask another Christian, he believe in another thing. But within this context, 3:16, go back to what? 3:3 and 3:5. Any question? Brian, you have any question? Does it make sense? So you have to believe in the context, right? The background. You believe in Jesus, that means you believe in what he said. So what did he say? That's exactly what he said to Nicodemus. What did he say in Nicodemus? No one can enter no one can see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So I need to be born again. But how can I be born again? 3:5, born by water and by the Spirit. You need to go through the water baptism. Now David. Now let me ask you, David. Have you believed in Jesus Christ yet? Have you been baptized by water?
No.
Do you want to be baptized by water?
Yeah.
Why you need to be baptized by water?
I can listen to his word, understand his word.
So that you can listen to his word and understand his word. That's good. What else? You know, I wish our parents, you know, understand God's word and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach your children, as you admonish your children with all wisdom, not with your own understanding, not with your human wisdom, but with God's wisdom. You teach, you got to teach with God wisdom. You understand? When you teach, you need to teach with God wisdom. If you teach with God wisdom, God is responsible for His promises. And He will deliver His promise. Because the Lord is faithful to all His promises. Psalm 145, 13. The Lord is faithful to all His promises.
13.
But in the Chinese one, you won't see that. Only the NIV you will see that. And the Lord is loving towards all He has made. Did you see that? Psalm 145, verse 13. The last portion of it. The early portion is the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures through all generations. And the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you do not have the word of Christ dwell in you richly, very likely when you teach out of your own wisdom and own understanding. You are not teaching out of God's wisdom and God's understanding. If you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly when you were young, later on when you get married, you have children, every word that utter from your mouth are from God's word. You understand? Do we need the word of Christ dwell in us richly? Do we need that? Josh? Do we need the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Did you memorize Jeremiah chapter 33 and 34? You memorize it? Recite it. 33. This is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After that time.
This is the covenant I made with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach to his neighbor, saying, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because all will know me.
Because they will all know me,
from the least of them to the greatest. I will forgive them of their wickedness. For because I will forgive them of their wickedness and remember the sins of them.
Very good. Thank you. Hey, man, that's good stuff, man. Good stuff. I like it, you know? I like it. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And secondly, as you sing, if you join the choir to sing, some people sing just with their mouth, but the Lord wants us to sing with gratitude in our heart towards the Lord. You don't sing just with your mouth. You sing with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. You don't sing to man. You don't want man to praise you. Oh, you have a beautiful voice. That's no good. Yes, you have a beautiful voice. But the Lord say, she's not singing to me. She's singing to the audience. Because she didn't sing with gratitude in their heart towards me. You understand? If you memorize Bible verses, even though 走音, out of tune, the Lord say, I love that lyric. I love that song. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because he sing with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. When we sing, we need to sing to the Lord. Am I right? But you don't just sing with your mouth. Sing with gratitude in your heart. When the Lord bless you, James chapter 5 verse 13. If you are in trouble, what should you do? You should pray. If you are happy, if you are glad, if you are joyful, what should you do? You should sing. You should sing songs, sing psalms, sing hymns, and sing with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. Okay? So in other words, if the choir who join the choir, they do not have the word of Christ dwell in them richly, they won't sing with gratitude in their heart. Because even though if the Lord bless them, they say, oh, because the reason why the Lord bless me because I'm good. The reason why I get the blessing because of luck. It's not because of luck. It's not because you are good. Because the Lord is merciful and gracious and loving, trust all He has made. Because you memorize God's word, then you know why you get the blessing. When you get the blessing, you sing songs, you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual song with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. You understand? Doesn't matter what you do, my friend, I tell you, my children, doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When you sing songs, I say, I'm going to sing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I sing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, I do my part. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Then I sing. When I sing with gratitude in my heart to the Lord. So next week, could you memorize 3:16? Daniel, on top of 3:16 and 3:17 too. Christopher too? Okay. Oh man. Hey, at the end of the year, you have thousands and thousands of Bible verses. You know, when I'm not around, you know, it can be, they can stand up and preach, okay? Preach like Pastor John, okay? Yeah. You know, I think, you know, by doing so, you know, 3-4 years later, we can reproduce a lot of preacher in here, okay? I tell you. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5:18. What's the main theme in Colossians 3:16? The main theme is the word. Let the word of Christ, the word is the main theme. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Can anyone relate to me? For those who memorize Isaiah 59, for those who memorize Jeremiah 31 verse 33, the Bible says, I will put my law is the word of Christ, I will put my law in your mind and write the word of Christ on your heart. That is exactly what Paul saying in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. These Bible verses is very much similar to Jeremiah 31:33, right? I will put my law, I will put the word of Christ in your mind. I will write the word of Christ on your heart. And Paul say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? Isaiah 59 verse 21. What did he say? As for me, this is my covenant with them. What it is? My spirit, who is on you, and my word that I put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth. If I have the word of Christ richly dwell in my heart, how can the word of Christ depart from my mouth? I get so much fuel in my heart already. How can I forget it? Am I right? And how will I say, if I have been baptized, if I have already believed in Jesus Christ, and how will I say that I'm not a Christian, just like Donald saying? How can it be? The only reason why he's saying what he's saying, because he did not allow the word of Christ to dwell in him richly. You see the difference? What did the word of Christ say in them? The Lord say, I will put my law in your mind and write my law on your heart. Then, and only then, you will know I am your God and you are my people. If God is my God and I'm his people, am I born again? Am I born again? I know I'm born again. I don't need you to tell me that I'm born again. Children, if they do not memorize Bible verses, if they feel good, if they do good things, they know, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a born again. If I did bad thing, then I say, oh, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm a Christian or not. I'm waiting. Ma, do we need the word of Christ dwell in you richly? What good does it do? What do you know?
The word of God.
You know the word of God. What else do you know? Do you know that you are Christian? Do you know that you belong to God? Do you know that God is your God and you are his people? You are his son? Do you know that you are his son? When you die, do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Do you know? Donald, do you understand what I'm trying to say now? So what needed to be changed in your life? Isaiah 59 verse 20. The Redeemer will only come to you if you repent. If you refuse to repent, the Redeemer will not come to you. If the Redeemer do not come into your heart, if Jesus Christ do not come into your heart, you will be eternally dead. Is that what you really want? No? What do you really want now? What do you need to be done? According to Isaiah 59 verse 20. What do you need to be done? Repentant. If you repent, what happened? Will the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, come into your heart? Will he give you the Holy Spirit? Will he reveal his word to you? Will he tell you that you are his son? Are you a Christian now? Not based upon your feeling, based upon God's word. Are you? Okay. You know, nowadays, our church is Apostolic Bible Church. We teach Bible. We are not Pentecostal church, you know, waving, you know, and you feel good, and then when you walk out of the church, then you don't feel good, and then you don't feel good, then people ask you, are you a Christian? Say, I don't know whether I'm a Christian or not. If you have God's word in your heart, you know that you are God's child. You understand? If you are God's child and you still sins against God, what should you do? From this day on, from this time on, because God make an everlasting covenant with me, I need to repent and start memorizing Bible verses. Does it make sense? When you start memorizing Bible verses, no one need to tell you to know the Lord, because you have already known him. They all know me. Why? Because they know that I have forgiven their wickedness. I will remember their sin no more. I will remember your sin no more. I will forgive all your wickedness. If you don't memorize it, Satan is going to accuse you. You don't look like a Christian. Then you commit a suicide. Then you kill yourself. Some people kill themselves because of the accusation. Do Christians kill themselves?
Yes.
We shouldn't kill ourselves. You know what I mean? You understand, Andy? So could you tell me what have you learned, Andy?
If we're a Christian and we sin, we have to ask for forgiveness and repent. And that we have to let the Word of God, like, we have to, like, memorize the God of Word and let it be strong.
So what did he say? In Jeremiah 31:34, he said, they will know me. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man teach his brother, saying, know the Lord. You need to know the Lord. You don't need to tell me to know the Lord. I have already known the Lord. They all know the Lord. How do I know they all know the Lord? From the very least, from the least of them to the greatest. Because they memorize God's word. They also know that God has already forgiven all my wickedness. And they will remember my sin no more. And how can I be not saved? By His word. Do you need to memorize it now? Okay, those who only come here today, I want you to write it down. You got to catch up. Isaiah 59:1-2. Isaiah 59:20-21. Jeremiah 31:33-34. If you think you are a smarter guy, 31-36. Colossians 3:16-17. Ephesians chapter 5:18. If you are good, and all the way to 21. I'll tell you why.
What about Ephesians 6:3?
Well, that one is bonus for the first comer, okay? Anyway, I explain to you what's the main theme, what's the emphasis in Colossians 3:16. The emphasis, the word. Not the word of man, the word of Christ. The word of Christ. Okay? And then what's the main theme of 5:18 of Ephesians? It's the Spirit of God. It's my Spirit. It's God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me carefully. Isaiah 59:21. My Spirit puts on you. He didn't say you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because my Spirit, which is on you, is the at the time that when you come to know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will enter into your heart. You only have what? A small portion of your heart have the Holy Spirit, not your whole heart. But what Paul is saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit in your heart. Don't just let small area of your heart, small area of your life, having the Holy Spirit is not good enough. If you have only 1% of your heart filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't let 100% of your heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you very likely 99% chance you're going to sin against God. Okay? my spirit who is on you, this is only the kindergarten. The first step. Because he draw a contract, he make a covenant with you. He guarantee you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the spirit of Christ will enter into your heart. He said, that's why I say, my spirit who is on you. But my word that I put in your mouth. When God put his word in your mouth, you got to make sure that every day you eat God's word. You digest it, you study it, you memorize it. It will do you all good. Daniel, the senior, do you have any question? Discouraging or encouraging?
Very encouraging.
Very discouraging?
No, very encouraging.
Oh, encouraging. Oh, okay. Okay, I heard it. How about Mark? You feel discouraged? Too much work? When Pastor John asked you to do it, did he do it himself? Did he do it? Did he memorize it? He didn't memorize it?
Pastor John?
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Who Pastor John you thinking? John the Baptist? Hey?
Dr. Strong.
Dr. Strong. You can call me PJ, okay? Not pajama. Pastor John, okay? I'm your friend, right? When you get problem, give me a shout. Am I your friend, Mark? Okay, I want children, listen to me. Go back to 5:18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not be filled with wine. If you have the habit of drinking wine, you better stop it now. You hear me? Christian should never get drunk on wine. Because if you get drunk on wine, it which leads to debauchery, orgy, adulteries, and all this stuff the Lord hates. We got to stop it. Enough is enough now. Instead of being filled with alcohol, filled with wine, now we need to be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. When I put these two Bible words in the New Testament together, then I understand Isaiah 59 verse 21, then I truly understand Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34. Does it make sense? Two things he gave it to you, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture. But Paul saying that, make sure you fill your heart with the Holy Scripture richly. Make sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit richly. Does it make sense? Isn't a Paul teaching is in according with the Old Testament teaching? Then I know it is God's word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are four signs that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, the first sign. When you speak with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song to one another. You won't speak filthy word. If you speak filthy word, that means you are filled with the evil spirit. Whenever you open your mouth, when you speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, that is the sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, as you sing and make music not to man, like the secular people, you sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. You sing to the Lord. So I see people have an MP3 filled with all these filthy songs. We should stop doing that now. Daniel, did you do that?
No, I don't have
MP3. You don't have MP3? Maybe I give you a small one, okay? But got to be a few Bible verses. Alright? Make sure, okay? When I check your MP3, if I see that filthy song and all this, what happened? Ma? Delete it now, okay? What's the second sign? The first sign is sign number one. When you speak in the original language, means speaking. When you sing, you keep on singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. When you speak, you're not speaking filthy word. You speak psalm, hymns, and spiritual song. When you sing in your heart to the Lord. 30. You're always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Doesn't matter what happened to you. Even though bad thing happened to you, you still give thanks to God. Then I know you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in one incident that Paul was locked up into with Silas, locked up in the prison? What did he do? He starts singing songs. I know he's filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? Shaken. Earthquake. The Lord heard their prayer. You do what God say, God do what He said, promised to you. For the Lord that I believe is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. Does it make sense? Doesn't matter what happened in your life. Practice them. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do it. Practice that. At first, it's difficult. Sometimes you complain it, you blew it. Okay, sorry, Lord, I do it again. You understand? Then, that's the third sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Always. 100% all the time giving thanks to God the Father for everything that happened in our life. Because if God allow it happen, it must be good for me, so I give thanks to Him. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this kind of thing happen in my life. It is for my own good, so I thank you. Thank you. Help me to learn it. You understand? Instead of cursing God, instead of saying filthy word. If you speak with filthy word, then you are filled with the evil spirit. If you speak with holy word, you are filled with Holy Spirit. Does it make sense? If you are filled with Holy Spirit, you won't sing Michael Jackson song. Whenever you sing Christian song. Does it make sense? That means that's a sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, submit to one another. You have a submissive spirit. Submit to one another. Why should you submit? For the reason why you submit because of Jesus Christ. So you submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because you fear God. That is verse 21. 5:21. And then 5:22, wife, submit to your husband. Before the Lord asked the wife to submit the husband, and in verse 21, the Lord asked the husband to submit to one another, submit to the wife. Out of reverence for Christ, because you fear God. Any question? So if you are King Kong, if you are King Kong, I want you not just read 5:18. I want you to memorize 5:18 all the way to 5:21. Does that make sense? 5:18 to 5:21. It's easy, right? Speaking, singing, and making music, giving thanks, and then what? Submit to one another. By doing so, I know you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit because you roll on the ground singing, roaring, cat sound, lion sound, then you're crying, I can't stop. This is baloney. This is not God's teaching. God teaching say, Paul saying that, how do I know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? When you speak God's word. When you sing holy song. Right? You sing to the Lord. You always give thanks, even in bad things, for everything. And you submit to one another. I know you are filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul giving us this illustration, he's not giving you just a theology, just a thought, but with practical guideline, right? Then you know. But when bad thing happen to you, the first thing you say, you swear, right? Right? And then next thing you curse God, right? Then you stop all this, right? Now you repent, you turn around, then bad thing happen, give thanks to God. Change that, right? What happened if you change it? Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 34, God opposed the proud man. Give grace to the humble one, to those who repent. I stop here. Any question? So if you want to just meet the bare minimum, 316, 518. But if you want to be good just like George, 518 to 21. When you get married, you can be 21, 22 all the way to 30. Okay? It's a good beginning, right? King Kong? You want to be King Kong? he's King Kong? Well, that's good. Don't you want to be King Kong?
I want to.
You want to be King Kong, right? Try. It's okay. Try is okay. And Colossians 3:16 and 3:17 is good too. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help your servant to allow the word of Christ to dwell in his heart as he teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, not with the wisdom of human being, but with God's wisdom, so that your children can recognize your voice, because your children belongs to you. They are your sheep. Your sheep recognize your voice. And so that your children know also that they don't sing second song. As they sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual song with gratitude in their heart to the Lord. We give thanks to you, for you are God, for you are good, for you have forgiven all our iniquity, and you will remember our sin no more. You are so kind to us. That's why we want to sing songs to you, O Lord. We give you thanks. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And his greatness no one can fathom. Lord, we love you, for you love us first. Help us to know you by memorizing your word in our heart. Let your word richly dwell in our heart, so that we be a true Christian, that we know we have already made a covenant with you, for you make a covenant with us. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. I pray that you continue to mold us, change us, and help us to repent and turn ourselves towards you, and so that we be a genuine Christian. And I pray, O Lord, that among all these children, I pray that you raise up your own servant. Set them apart when your servant is not around. And I pray that you help them to carry the baton, to keep on preaching your gospel, so that our children after us will be able to hear your word through them. I pray all this in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say,
Amen.
Amen.